listening to the Gonzo Chronicles. This is Heidi Gadd, and I am happy to be on air today with Cyrus.
Yeah, it's me, Cyrus Alderwood, your usual loudmouth son of a gun. Today's episode is brought to you by, well, nothing really. I'm just sitting here having a glass of scotch and making Heidi jealous because I'm drinking, she's not. But if we had a sponsor today, I would like to say this show is brought to you by Johnny Walker, Black Label. But I guess I can't say that because we don't have a sponsor. How you doing, Heidi?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're back by popular demand, apparently.
Oh, okay. I like it.
I know. People kind of like you better than me.
Sponsorship, you never know. Maybe a Johnny Walker representative hears this.
And maybe. Like,
hey, I like this guy. He writes weird books about aliens and other detailed subjects.
And parties in Vegas. And so if Johnny Walker's listening, if you guys are listening, hey, come on. If you need a national spokesman that's close to like that Norm character from Cheers, I might be your guy. Same thing with the cats from Sierra Nevada Pale Ale or Sierra Nevada Brewery, right? Some of the finest beer I've had, folks. I'm just saying. Give it a shot if you haven't tried it.
Can't hurt, throw it out there, buddy.
I can't, right? I need a sponsor of the show other than, you know, just me. So thanks for coming back, Heidi. Like I said, popular demand. People like you better than me after listening to you on before. So we're going to talk about some pretty weird stuff, some up-to-date UFO news and sightings.
Do it.
We're doing it. So I guess let me toss this out here to you. Last time you were on, we talked about aliens and beyond. I guess you're kind of ramping that back up here in the near future sometime?
Yep. Yeah. Mason and I are getting ready to start probably like we may do a rant show and then but we are, you know, with everything going on, our filming of our short films we were making is on hold, but we're pretty confident we can start up some of that here pretty quick and start getting some material out to the humans.
You know, if you break into a park that happens to be closed, just have Mace dress up as Bigfoot. You guys will totally get away with it. Like, nobody, like, people will run, so no one's going to be near you. And so we're going to rant today, too, right? You're out in the Arizona, greater Phoenix area. A lot of, you know, the country's on lockdown. I went on a rant on my last podcast just bitching and moaning about this. And, like, I'm so cynical. I've turned into, like, George Carlin in my middle-aged years here, I guess I'm coming into. So, like, everything about media and politicians, like, I suddenly like, turn and hate them all, don't trust any of them. We're on lockdown. I'm like, dude, my freedom. I don't go anywhere, but, like, just I want to now just to give the finger to the man. What's it like out there?
There's still people moving around a lot, but, you know, like most other major cities are the majority of the businesses are shut down. And, you know, hopefully this stuff will get under control and everybody's shops can open back up, mine included. That'd be swell.
And the name of your shop is?
Superstition Mountain Music and M-tronics.
So
we fix stuff.
Yeah, you
and we
do.
Sell stuff too. We fix musical instruments.
So you cater to all kinds of musicians, like locally and regionally. So, but you have an online presence too, because I know you guys have Instagram, Facebook. So I guess, do you guys, like, if somebody halfway across the country needs something, can you guys work with them too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have like a Reverb store, just really just calling or emailing us. We get stuff for people all the time and we sell like really weird off the wall stuff. Like people will have some weird guitar from the 60s that they don't want to deal with selling to somebody. So I sell it for them. So it's pretty cool. Cause I get to play with a whole bunch of other people's things.
Well, that's pretty cool though. Now how are you handling all this lockdown stuff? I mean, this is maddening for so many people.
Well, fortunately, if I drive for like 45 minutes to an hour, I can get out of the city. Any of the like desert area near here, like even the Superstition Mountains, which I talked about last time when I was on your show, it's all closed off. You can't go hiking up there. They had left it open a little bit, but it was getting so crowded and people were just not being wise about their choices. But I just bolt out, man. I just go out and go wander around for a few hours and come back and read books and go online like everyone else does.
Yeah, you know, the hardest thing I've had to deal with is, like, people wearing masks. Like, if I put on a mask, like, 2 months ago, somebody would, like, call the cops on me. Now, if you don't put on a mask, they'll freaking call the cops on you. You know what I mean? But I noticed all these people are getting, like, personalized masks. And, like, I saw this really cool one from it had Iron Maiden on it. Eddie from Iron Maiden. And I thought, man, that is so badass. And I thought about ordering one because you can go to Iron Maiden's website now and get these. They make these. And I thought, man, I'm going to get one. But by the time I get one, it would all be over. And then if I ever committed a crime and wore it, like, everyone would know who I was, you know. So I guess I can't do that. But
the band Korn did it's pretty funny because they did a, you know, coronavirus Kornavirus mask. So they have their Korn, it says Korn. It was just really funny. I remember that when you just said that right now.
You should get an alien mask for Aliens and Beyond.
I know. Yeah, if I had more time and resources, I know, right? You would think I have time right now, but actually, surprisingly, I'm more busy now than I was when I wasn't stuck in my house.
How come? How did that happen? What do you?
I'm not sure.
It's
productive, though. I should say I'm more productive because people say I'm busy, but I just say I'm productive. I just get a lot of stuff done, you know? I'm multitasking.
I am completely unproductive. So during the middle of this, like, a lot of people don't know what I do. I just, it's like there's some goofy bastard that comes on here and talks about shit on a podcast. But, you know, your business got shut down. I was right in the middle of starting an investment advisor company because I've worked in that business since the late 90s. Yeah. So I was going, you know, I'm an independent investment advisor. So I was setting everything up and going to be going through Schwab to, you know, hold my client accounts and all that. Boom, right in the middle of all this, I let my license lapse after my dad died because I spent about 4 years trying to, you know, just focus on, like, chasing that dream, being a writer. And then I realized, wait a minute, I let my license lapse. I have to go back in and retake this exam. And that's no problem. I'll go in and take that. Then they canceled it because of this coronavirus. So now I have to wait for the center to open back up. I've done every regulatory hurdle except that. So it's like, really? I got to wait until I could just take a 3-hour test, which I'll be done with in 1 hour and 20 minutes. And now I'm just sitting here. And I run a nonprofit too on the side. So everybody's broke. Nobody's making donations to anything.
No.
You know, and if they do, like, if they want to, I would say just go to a small business and, like, you know, your mom and pop restaurant, order takeout, like, help these people. You know, I'm gonna still be around when all this is said and done, but a lot of these small businesses, yeah, I worry about them, and I'm sure you do too with yours and, like, all your other friends that have businesses there, yeah, and places you frequent and stuff. So well, hope this is over with soon because I'm going stir crazy and I'm almost out of scotch, and that's not good.
I hope the music industry comes back, you know, because definitely the music industry for the, you know, the regulars has taken a pretty big hit. And
yeah.
That's pretty lame.
But I haven't been out to too much, but while I'm sitting in and I'm, like, just reliving life, like the 90s and 2000s on YouTube, I forgot how much I missed live music. And then recently got to hear, like, the new Grey Days album that was debuted online. And I'm like, man, I'm missing this stuff, and so I started looking up all these documentaries on Netflix about musicians I like, and I'm like everybody else, I'm binge watching as much as I can before my attention wavers on Netflix. I saw two you might want to check out because you're big into, like, you're so eclectic with your music. You seem to like everything, you know.
Pretty much.
There's good. What did you say?
I said, if it's good, it's good with music, you know?
And if, you know, you love, like, orchestra, you know, big band music, right? But one of the, when I say Miles Davis, I'm sure you have a great appreciation for what he did for jazz.
Absolutely.
And just the culture in general through the 50s and the 70s. And there's a documentary on Netflix about Miles Davis called Birth of the Cool, which was that breakthrough album he had. It's an amazing documentary about his life and his impact on the culture and on jazz. And then there's another one about John Coltrane called Chasing the Train. And that was really, really good, too. So I noticed you sell a lot of horns in your store. You do a lot of repairs on those. Those are two, like, the most iconic people in music in general. Like, no matter what genre, all genres combined. Like, those two people are just, like, are trendsetters. So those are great documentaries to watch.
Yeah, I'll check them out. I hadn't seen them yet. I just got my Netflix back, so they lost my account. Those like 15 years of algorithm. Savages. Somehow it got suspended, but they were still charging me for it, but I couldn't log in. And, you know, it's all busy and everybody was calling Netflix, so I waited like a month before I actually called them. And the guy was like, I've never seen anything like it. I'm all, it's the man! It's a conspiracy! They're killing my Netflix account! And so, yeah, so I lost, like, all of my history and all the random stuff I had saved, you know, that I was like, oh, I'll watch later, which now is later. I would totally be watching all the stuff, and I don't even remember half the names of the films.
That sucks. So, yeah, if my, if my watch list disappeared, I would be in so much trouble. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Dude, it's like, the guy was just like whispering to me, like, I'm sorry. I'm so like, he couldn't say anything. He was just like, I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, why? Of course it's going to happen to me. Yeah, if anything weird or like, if it's like, oh, this is a very rare thing to happen, it's going to happen to me. Like, events, I don't know why. It's just what happens.
And happening in the middle of a pandemic, it's like losing a limb. You know, it's like, what worse time could that happen?
Right? I'm so glad you understand. Yeah, I almost cried.
And now you're stuck watching The Tiger King with everybody else, which...
I have not watched it. I don't know if I'm going to watch that. I have, you know, the animals, man. Like, it's like, you know, children get mistreated. I see animals getting mistreated. It's literally the same effect on me. I can't. I get really angry, honestly.
I want to tell you what the take a friend of mine had on that show. Now, I haven't watched it, okay? Because, I don't know, I'm just busy watching other things, and I didn't know if it was something I'd want to watch. Because to me, it kind of reminded me of, like, Springer, you know? It's like, why would I watch Springer? You know, it's like a train wreck waiting to happen. But right. A buddy of mine who's very, he's very libertarian in his thinking, you know? And he's, like, very conservative. He, like, pokes fun at everybody on both sides of, like, the political aisle all the time. He's, like, the biggest cynic I know, but, like, everything he says is, like, it's like talking to Hunter S. Thompson without the booze and drugs. So it's like that all the time with this guy. So he's like, I'm going to tell you, damn it. I'm like, damn it. He called me a son of a bitch by accident. He's like, well, tell you what, you son of a bitch. You got to watch this. I'm like, I don't know, Baker. He's like, I'm going to tell you why you need to watch this. He said, I hate everything that guy stands for. He's like trailer park trash in the middle of where Oklahoma with tigers, and they're feeding people to him. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, the guy's married to two men living in Oklahoma in the middle of like this conservative bastion of people with tigers and a gun strapped to his hip. He said, dude, that is America. That's the Wild West. I hate that guy, but he is everything this country represents. Like, okay, dude. Whatever you say, it's like America, the one place you can go and do whatever the hell you want and get away with it. He said that right there is the story of America. That's beautiful. I'm like, oh, okay, Baker, whatever you say. But he loved it. He keeps telling me I have to watch this show. I haven't broken down and done it yet, but I might. I know nothing about it, but except everybody tells me that Carol Baskins is a bitch. I have no idea who this woman is, but they apparently print it up on coffee mugs now.
Yeah. I don't know if, that's how I see the Wild West, because I live in the Wild West.
Mm-hmm. You do live in the Wild West. I'm surprised you don't walk around with a gun strapped to your hip.
Yeah, there's no tigers in the Wild West.
There are cows.
There's desert cactus.
You communed with the cattle yesterday.
I did. I communed with cattle in nature. It was pretty cool. I hung out with them for like an hour and a half. I talked to them. They there was one, it was a baby. It hadn't been tagged yet. And so it was kind of interesting because it had obviously not had any human contact and was very curious about me. And you could tell people had not been going to this area. And I had a few people try to get out of me where I went, but I won't do it because it's, you know, the animals are out, coming out. And if you're a local and you can figure it out, cool, but I'm not going to announce it so the whole city goes out there, you know.
You actually have wild horses roaming around in some of those areas, don't you?
Oh, yeah, all over the place. Yeah, I run into them all the time. It's pretty cool because you'll see, like, the same family, right? And then you'll see a little colt get born and the horse grows. And so you can see over time them just wander around the area. It's over down by the river, that where the horses are. But it's pretty cool. There's a lot of good wildlife here. We got weird birds and all kinds of stuff. Harris hawk.
You have two turtles living in your yard that you can saddle up and ride.
I do. Yes, I have a miniature farm here. I need a bigger one. A larger farm, I'd be pretty happy with that, you know. Goat, get a goat. I always wanted a goat.
Well, why not? It's quarantine time. Go get a goat. And if I had a goat, I would never bother paying anybody to mow the lawn. I'd just like have at it, little guy.
Have to. I haven't had to mow my lawn in like 9 years because of my tortoises that live in my backyard. They eat the weeds, everything. It's actually kind of difficult to keep grass going for them because they primarily survive on Bermuda, which is their natural diet if they had been living in Africa.
So what do you feed them?
They just eat the grass that grows in my yard and weeds. And then I'll throw them, like, I have a garden, so, you know, they get tomatoes and stuff like that sometimes.
You gotta be careful what you feed your pets, because I found out, like, I wonder if, like, you know, like, dogs, you could feed stuff from the table, but cats, what if your cat or your dog had high blood pressure and you never knew? You're like, hey, have some ham. You know? Right. I don't know, how does that work? Like, I don't know. What if Bessie...
You have to listen to the animals, man. You listen to the animals, they will tell you.
Are you the turtle whisperer? And the cattle whisperer? You might be. Now, all right, let's get into some weird stuff here, like talking about cattle. I remember when you were on your other show, what was the name of that show you were on? Aliens with Gas or something, or like way back when?
Mothership Radio Show?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I remember I'd emailed you guys, listen to the show. And it was so cool because, but then after you were gone, I stopped listening to the show because, like, I hate to say it, but you carried the show kind of. And I remember emailing in about, like, I solved the cattle mystery, like the mutilation mystery. Do you remember that, or did you get like a bunch of emails? You don't remember anybody commenting?
Was it when we had that guy, that musician on who had the cattle experience too?
Oh, I don't know. I just had emailed it, like, I solved this, because what I was saying was, like, I realize now why there's so many cattle mutilations, and the aliens are obviously doing this, because we have the best steak and burgers anywhere in the galaxy, and as big as space is, there has to be capitalism. You can't socialize space. It's too wide open. It's the Wild West. So, yeah, so somewhere on the rim of the galaxy, they're having, like, the best damn hamburgers anywhere in the galaxy. Some aliens making money off of cattle ass, like, from Oklahoma. I mean, honestly, it's like, yeah, that's why. Best beef in the galaxy.
It's a delicacy.
It is.
The cow anus.
Yeah. Like, why do they have such an ass fetish? I never really understood that with aliens. But you've got some news. We're going to talk about some, like, recent UFO sightings.
Oh, and, yeah, that one I saw come across. Oh, sorry, my phone is buzzing.
I didn't know if that was yours or mine. Yeah, my sister still won't stop chatting. Now they're talking about NCIS. Don't ask me why. But I watched that NCIS New Orleans. I totally watch old people TV at this point in my life. I have no idea why. If VH1 was still a thing, I'd be a VH1 kind of guy. Do you remember that channel?
Yeah, dude, maybe you should write or bring it back.
I totally wish they would. I mean, MTV killed rock and roll. I'm so pissed at MTV. Hate them. They killed rock and roll. Hey, can you talk about Gray Days at all yet?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so for people listening, we mentioned Gray Days last time. But Gray Days was the original band of Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. and all of his friends got together and did a tribute album for him using his vocals, and you got to go in and play on a couple of tracks.
I did.
You play rock and roll violin now.
I do.
You're the premier heavy metal violinist in the world. Own up to it. You are.
I play heavy metal violin, and I play pretty violin, too. On these songs, I had one that was an electric part in one song, and then another song I did, I wrote a quartet, and so they took pieces of it and kind of put it all over the place. They did their, you know, production magic. I just, you know, musicians, we just go in there and we give them what we can, and then they go in there and put the puzzle together.
That had to be a pretty surreal experience to watch all that happen, working in, you know, in music your whole life, basically.
It definitely has been, and the level of work ethic that went into this record is really what actually really inspires me and makes me appreciate the process even more. Because we're working with all kinds of people, and then, you know, Chester's not here, and these are vocals that he had recorded in the 90s here in, you know, Tempe, Phoenix, Arizona, back in the day.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so they, like, kind of reverse engineered. Normally, like, you know, the vocals are kind of an app. You know, the music comes and then the vocals come, but they had the vocals and then the music was written all around the vocals. And there's some really great documentaries about it on the Great A's site. There's a whole docuseries that explains it. In the 8th episode, you will catch a glimpse of me.
Well, that's so cool, though. Now, you post some of these up, too. And you post a lot of stuff up, I guess, music-related, too, on your Instagram page. So people should probably follow you on Instagram as well as, you'll find a lot of those videos there because you reshare them, and same thing on Facebook. And hopefully one of these days you'll catch Mace around and he'll be able to come on and we'll talk about his UFO Bigfoot, or his Bigfoot dance. That's so funny.
Yeah. Maybe we do like a three-way or something. When he comes over, we live pretty close to each other, thankfully, and like he was just over today. He just like drives out, sits in his car in front of my house.
That's funny.
And then we chat, and then he drives away, you know.
So people don't know, we're talking about Mace Byers. He's the bass player for Great A's, and he was, you know, a good close friend with Chester Bennington, too. And so I'm sure he's probably got some stories.
He's also the other half of Aliens and Beyond.
I'm not
sure if it's the Aliens or the Beyond. We're not sure which one of us is which.
Either way, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool show. So you have that on YouTube, too, so everybody should definitely check that out. And the Aliens and Beyond podcast. So that'll be back. You guys will be back up before too long. And I'm looking forward to that because it's really educational. Because you guys bring up issues that maybe people they've heard about but don't know a whole lot about. And the visual stuff you guys do with the creative video is really cool. So,
hey, thanks.
Like little miniature documentaries like you would watch on history or whatever, but you make them cool and not like something I would fall asleep on trying to watch. Even though, like, I think vampires and werewolves are cool, but somehow History Channel made me fall asleep. I don't know how that happens, but, but it's really cool stuff. So,
I'm glad everybody likes my editing stupidity because, you know.
Oh, that's what makes it so fun. It's so quirky and cool, though. It really is. So there's some recent UFO sightings. I'm gonna jump into one here real quick, and with MUFON, I've noticed you get all kinds of information from MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. But sometimes I notice when these articles pop up, they don't have them dated, which I find kind of annoying. But you can still find some good info there, regardless of, I guess they're kind of controversial now in the UFO community, I suppose.
Right.
So. There's a one particular article that popped up, and this is off of UFO Sightings Daily, and I'm just going to kind of read a little bit of this because it's dated April 18th, so we're just talking 2 days ago. The headline is UFO caught on NASA live cam from space station, April 2020 UFO sighting news, and this is again from UFO Sightings Daily. It was the location of the sighting was Earth's orbit at the International Space Station. And the source was NASA live cams. And somebody posts up there, and this is what they're saying. Hey, guys, I was looking at the NASA live cams of the space station and noticed something in the far left side of the screen. As I watched, just as the cylinder object was about to come into focus, NASA cut transmission and went to red screen. Red screen is the updated old blue screen. So I wasn't sure if it was a UFO at first, but when NASA also noticed it and went to red screen, it sealed the deal. NASA was put NASA put effort in hiding this object from the public. Therefore, this object must have been a threat to national security. Kind of cool, wouldn't you say? The object looks solid. Its edges look like the edges of the space station arm. The object is undeniably solid. The sunlit side of the Earth coming into view caused the UFO shields to malfunction for a short time. That's why we saw it, just as I've seen 100 times before. If you want to see a UFO, watch a few sunsets. I promise you'll see one, but bring a camera or your friends will never believe you. And this is from Scott Waring, who was viewing this from Taiwan, of all places.
Wow.
So that was... Now, I've noticed that. Now, have you noticed that too, though, Heidi, with anything with the International Space Station or the NASA cam when they catch things, that it's been like they have a history of like turning things off or doing that red screen or blue screen?
Oh, yeah. And in the sun, too. Like, there's, you know, kudos to all these people that hang out and just watch the live feed and, like, record it immediately while it's happening before they have a chance. They have to, you know, doctor it up. But, yeah, I've seen it happen myself. I've been watching this stuff and seen it and seen exactly what that guy's talking about. Or go back to replay it at the same time frame. All of a sudden, you know, it's not there. And there's a couple little white specks in there. You can tell they went bloop, bloop.
Yeah. And there's a couple that are really well-known and, I guess, famous sightings that you'll see on Discovery Channel or History Channel on these documentaries. Well, they'll show an object coming up from the surface, like flying up so quick and then out of view from the camera going into space.
Yeah.
Nothing in on our planet moves that fast. Like Mach 10 would not be anywhere close to like how fast that shot off of the surface and out into space. And it also changed trajectory, which was what made people think, wow, okay, that's not just some weird something we caught. It actually changed trajectory, which is kind of strange.
I've seen big time ones do that where they shoot, they'll be like this, an orb basically, you know, like pretty much looks like an orb. It's like a disc shape round and it just looks like a giant white light reflecting, not really white though. That's the thing. It's like white, but it's not white. There's like these blues and I don't know. Those are just the colors I see, but then it'll shoot straight up. I've seen this numerous times here. Shoot straight up. And as a matter of fact, one of the lakes I go to, when I used to go out there and like rent boats all the time and just like motor around by myself out there, and the dock guy, he told me that he would see, and this is like an older gentleman who'd worked there for like decades, right? He's telling me he's seen stuff go in that lake and out and like weird lights that even come down and like hover above and then disappear.
That's not surprising because I think we've seen... Even some of the stuff that have been coming out recently in recent years, where we've seen like lights below the surface of the ocean, and I don't know if they're necessarily military footage, but footage from other ships where they've seen these things go in and out of the water. So you know what the hell are they? I mean, if it's man-made and military and top secret, then man, they're really decades ahead of anybody else in technology.
Well, have you ever seen the? What do they call it? The captain's notes or the captain's log from Christopher Columbus, that translation?
No.
The real reason Christopher Columbus discovered America, history books are wrong. Oh, surprise, I know. they were following a USO, an unidentified submerged object. You should look it up. You're gonna love this.
Oh, I'll flip when I read this.
And they have, like, there's images of, you know, the handwritten notes that he would write in his log where he's detailing and the other accounts of the other crewmen are detailing seeing this light underneath the water and that they were following it. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting story, actually. You guys would dig it.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll post this article up on the Gonzo Chronicles Facebook page. So if anybody wants to go look it up, if you don't want to just go look it up yourself, you can just go there and click. And I guess if you want, you can put it up on Aliens and Beyond Facebook page too, if you want. And here's the one that I saw that it was like, I'm calling BS on this one. This one says UFO follows woman in New York City. Video April 2020 UFO sighting news, and this is the source was MUFON, and it's April 8th. This is actually one that I actually had dated April 8th, New York City, New York. Some great raw footage of a UFO that looks like a cube that is following a woman as she walks a dog. As she moves down the street, the UFO also moves to keep her in view. John Lennon himself has said he and his wife saw a UFO back in 1974 in New York City. So you know it's possible. It's still happening today. Awesome raw footage. Actually, ironically, it's the same guy from Taiwan. I wonder what that guy's drinking. But no, he's got the eyewitness statement and everything here. But when you look at the video, Heidi, this thing is so far up in the sky. Like, I could be walking, and like you would think something's following you from that high up. But how the hell do you know? It could be going the opposite direction, and you just think, you know what I mean? It's like you can... How do you know something's following you down the street walking your dog when it's like high up as an airplane?
What was the... That sounds like... there was a few years ago, there was those cube sightings like that. I remember Alejandro Rojas did something on it. I can't remember what they figured out it was or if they figured out it wasn't. I can't remember.
Yeah,
What was the Borg coming? We got the Borg here. If we're talking about physics, like just from a general layman's perspective, a square cube is in no way, shape, or form aerodynamic. Come on. Sorry. I'm just going to leave it at that, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's some things are just not believable, you know? But that doesn't mean, I guess it doesn't mean it's not necessarily true. It just means I'm just not buying it.
Right. And I don't want to, like, discount the woman that she saw something. Like, maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe. But there's just not enough information. Like, does she wear glasses?
Yeah. And this video, I don't think, is anywhere conclusive, like, to anything like that. So, that's on there. You had a sighting from California somewhere. Is that right?
Yeah, I saw. I came across this one. Apparently it happened, I was just trying to find the actual video footage, the original video footage, but I know it's on MUFON, apparently, but navigating through that site to find the appropriate thing is pretty difficult, because when I was in there, I actually saw there's a whole lot of sightings on the East Coast and in Michigan, and like Maryland and Michigan. Tons of UFO sightings in the end of March, early April, just now when I was looking. But so this sighting was in California, and it's equivalent to the Phoenix Lights, man. Like, it had big, lots of stream of lights all lined up like that. People saw it in their reports of it being sighted from Mexico as well as in the Northern California area. So, I don't know, and it hovered. I know I shared it on Aliens and Beyond's Instagram, but I don't know, man. It looked like the Phoenix Lights ship that happened.
That I wanted to ask you about that, too, with the Phoenix Lights. You and countless other people saw this.
Right? I did not see it, actually. I missed it. I was in band practice.
That thing hovered, like, for several nights, though, didn't it? But, well, I guess if you're at practice every night, you wouldn't...
Well, it was actually just one night, from my understanding, the 13th, but it went over... It was numerous states had the sighting of it. It was actually March 13th, 97, was when it happened.
Okay, and they tried to say it was, like, military flares, which has been debunked by numerous people at this point, so...
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I didn't see it myself, like I said. That night when I got home from band practice, I roll into my apartment and, you know, I had an answering machine with the tape. You know, shows my age. Well, I mean, I told you it was 7 or whatever. So, And the thing was, well, it's all blinking. My phone is ringing as I walked in the door. I don't even know what time it was. Probably like 1 o'clock in the morning. And the whole tape is full of people, my friends, like Heidi. Either they saw it, or somebody saw it, or what's going on? Are we dying? Are they coming? Like, I apparently had the answers. I must know the answers when a giant UFO sighting comes over Phoenix. But over the years, like, every cab I've taken, every Uber, every Lyft, every taxi, almost any person I've ever brought it up to has told me that they see it. Every taxi driver and Uber driver has had said that they saw the Phoenix lights. Every single person's car I've gotten into wants to talk to me about
That's crazy. And, you know, I can't blame people for being scared because, what are we talking, like a year after or 2 years after Independence Day was made? You know, and here you have this big thing hovering over Phoenix, and it's like, well, you know, yeah. hopefully we're not going to be next. We're not the start of a worldwide, you know, intergalactic war.
Still, there's so many people that don't even know about the sighting.
And no kidding.
There's movies out now that are, you know, they're fictionalizing part of it. But still, they don't even know about it, which I don't understand how that's possible.
That's like people not knowing what 9/11 is. I mean, I don't want to compare the two, obviously, being a jerk, but, you know, like you see certain things in your life on TV and it sticks out, you know?
Right.
The Phoenix lights was one of the first things, like crazy things, like news-wise, I remember seeing on TV. It's like, damn, are we watching that? Did that just happen? And they're telling me it's something that it's probably not, you know? Now, there was a doctor out there, I maybe mentioned this to you before, and I would love to talk to some of maybe the old former council members or mayor or whoever about this and like what they've discovered about it since then. There was a book written by Dr. Lynn Katai, whatever her name, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but about the Phoenix Lights. I guess she kind of gave up her career in medicine to pursue this stuff, you know, so I don't know if it like ruined her reputation or what, but she was so passionate about it. She just like, well, okay. I have a different calling now, and just like went right into it.
Well, but that's what happens when you see something that changes your life. You know, when your direction of thought process that you've been told you're supposed to have has been this one direction. If you go outside and you see a UFO, like legit, where you're like, what is that? It changes. It's like if someone sees a ghost, you know, all of a sudden, everything you thought you know nothing.
Yeah. Hey, can I get back to this, like, the whole thing that's going on in our country and our world right now? And people just kind of have this weird vibe. And do you just have, like, this gut feeling that the world's about to flip upside down? I mean, I don't necessarily mean, like, a polar shift or anything, but a year from now, we're going to be living in a very different world after all this.
It's changing, but there's still time for change. You know,
I'm hoping it's for the better.
Ever set in stone. We still have a chance. We'll see what happens.
And I have a big gut, so when I have a gut feeling, I try to go with it. Except when it comes to gambling, I lose.
You know, I hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So I do my best to prepare for the worst.
If all else fails, just bug out to the Superstition Mountains. What can we say?
But yeah, I got some spots.
Oh, speaking of Superstition Mountains, when Gonzo Chronicles 3 comes out, I've got a part of the book is Superstition Mountains. I don't know if I haven't told anybody this yet, but it's weird because the natives called it the gateway to hell. All right, so
it does get pretty hot here.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. Oh, there's another article here. This is something I posted up on the Gonzo Chronicles Facebook page a while back, not this particular article. But this is from UFOInternationalProject.com. A deep space object may have been alien probe, Harvard paper argues. Well, we can really trust anything from Harvard. However, there's some picture they put here, some fabricated Hollywood thing, I'm sure. A huge cigar-shaped spotted tumbling through our solar system last year may have been an alien spacecraft sent to investigate Earth, astronomers from Harvard University have suggested. We suggested this a few years ago in one of our articles, and there's a link to the article from 2017. This thing was also spotted in 2019 as well. Like, and then there was this
one named after the Hawaiian one?
Yes, exactly. It had some weird name I can't pronounce. The object nicknamed whatever, meaning a messenger that reaches out from the distant past in Hawaiian, was discovered in October 2017 by the Pan-STARRS 1 telescope in Hawaii. This may be a fully operational probe sent intentionally to Earth's vicinity by an alien civilization, they wrote in the paper, which has been submitted to the Astrophysical Journal of Letters. The theory is based on the object's excess acceleration or its unexpected boost in speed as it traveled through and ultimately out of our solar system in January. Then they spotted a second one, which is, I posted both articles, not this one, but from before, on the Facebook page. It's not entirely out of the question, you know. I mean, it's a long way to travel. Wouldn't you just hitch a ride with an asteroid you knew was going to go right by?
I learned how to pronounce when I was doing the old radio show when this had first come out. I had learned how to pronounce this word, and I'm trying to find it right now. I can't find it. Omahawa.
Yeah, something like that.
Dead. I should not have done that. I've just embarrassed myself. I don't care.
Hey, this happens to me every day. Like, within 30 minutes again.
I mean, I care, but I just don't, you know. I think that's true for a lot of people. Nobody's really letting their insides out.
Yeah, I mean, this lockdown's got everybody acting weird. Like, I started doing Tai Chi in my underwear on the back deck. I live in a neighborhood with a lot of elderly people. I look nothing like Patrick Swayze from Roadhouse. So imagine, like, some tubby guy out back stretching and talking baby talk to his cat, and with a bottle of Coke in one hand, you know, and some cat food in the other. It's probably a sight. Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Just, you know, be yourself. That's what I tell everybody. It's always my hope for all. Just be yourself.
Yeah, that got me in trouble in grad school.
Yeah, well, you know what? It shouldn't have.
It accidentally got me engaged. I mean, talk about a close call. That's terrible to say. Oh, my God. Watch her actually be listening to the show. Sorry, no offense.
Oops.
Sorry. That's terrible. There's so much news that comes out all the time. And you kind of have to be careful what you believe, what you don't believe. But what a fascinating field of research, ufology. And you've been into this stuff for, gosh, a long time.
Yeah. I should finish writing this book while I'm, you know, not working.
Maybe.
Or working less, I should say.
Maybe so. Have you started it? Have you started writing it?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of it done. And you know what really sidetracked it was the whole that whole Area 51 thing, you know. I just took a lot of the juice out of the whole thing, and there's a few UFO researchers that have actually just kind of left the field since then. And
are you talking about everybody rushing Area 51?
Yeah.
We should do it now. They would never see it coming in the middle of a pandemic.
Oh, man. They'd be out there with Lysol, Lysol. Psh.
Oh, definitely. If you thought the coronavirus is bad, you wait till you pick up something from Alpha Centauri. I hear those people are nasty.
Right? Oh, man. Yeah. That's the thing, though. We got, like, polar ice caps melting. We got, like, all this climate stuff's going on, too. Like, it's the whole thing, all things are connected, you know. It sounds like the hippie in me talking, but they are. There isn't. All actions have consequences.
Yeah, like, you know, the Every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
I learned that in kindergarten, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Back-quencing.
I cuss in front of my mother. I eat soap. I learned that when I was about 3 years old.
See, my parents were a little more different, so you know, I got away with the swearing a little bit.
I'm just glad they used Safeguard, not lava. God, can you imagine how bad that would have been? But I could have avoided a tonsillectomy at the age of 7, you know. There was that. I don't know. But there's so much going on in the world and so much craziness out there that's like, I think people are starting to not just kind of wake up about a lot of things, but looking at these issues too and just kind of realizing, you know, when you watch TV and news, we're all getting sold a bill of goods, and I'm going to start looking into things for myself. I notice that more and more on social media, which is a good thing. Despite people telling other people they're crazy and full of shit or whatever, for a difference of opinion or whatever. But, you know, if we can get in touch with our nicer inner spirits, it'd be okay.
Right?
Who knows?
It would be.
Yeah. So what else you got, Heidi? What else? Any other interesting news out there? Are we going to save it for next time?
I don't know. I already forgot what we talked about.
The California thing.
We talked about California. Yeah. I don't know.
Talked a little gray days. But there's so much interesting UFO news or just like weird news. Cryptid sightings and there's all kinds of things we could talk about in these different episodes. Like the Montauk Monster. Like how much weird stuff is like washed up on the shore of California.
Right.
Or one thing I wanted to get into with you at a future episode for damn sure is on the Superstition Mountains, the theory of portals that open up throughout the mountains that lead to other dimensions.
Yeah.
Because that's a theory. Yeah. That's a theory about UFO sightings that come out of nowhere. Actually, I had an article. Let me see if I can find this. Yeah, here's one more. Like, before I... this is also on the same page of UFO Sighting Daily. There's a picture, and you're going to flip when you see this. I'm going to put it up on the Facebook page. Two UFOs recorded under the sun during sunset, sightings from Costa Rica. And this was from April 16th. This is just this week, or within the last week. This is also a source was MUFON, and this was from Heredia, Costa Rica. And this is actually a case number here, 107862. That's the MUFON case number, if anybody wants to actually look it up. But today, an interesting MUFON report came in. An eyewitness in Costa Rica recorded two UFOs in the lower southern end of the sun. There's also a telephone pole cable passing behind the sun, not a string or glitch. The two UFOs are close together and do not appear to be a reflection of any kind. Many large UFOs have been recorded near Earth's sun. Here's more proof of that. Absolutely beautiful and mind-blowing UFO photo. Absolute proof that our sun is of serious importance to alien creatures. And that I could kind of buy. Because that photo was... I'm sure anybody could doctor a photo and fool me. You know, maybe I'm a rube, but it was really interesting to see that. And when you think about the importance of the sun, just as far as energy and perhaps transportation to alien craft, and what kind of alien craft could get that close to the sun?
Right. Well, there's a couple of UFO researchers and photographers that they actually will like film the area around the sun and like try to block it. You know, they try to block it because obviously the sun destroys your lenses and your cameras. And they've gotten quite a bit of footage. And I remember when, gosh, I was probably like 17 years old and I met this guy and he was super weird, right? Surprise. But he had started telling me about the sun or whatever. And he was like, if you look right at sunset and you block the sun out with your hand and you get one of those binoculars like you can look at the sun with or whatever, we'll see, he's like, you'll see objects around the sun. And this is like in the 90s or whatever. And then there's all these people, these handful of photographers I know that literally just film in that area of the sun. Just, and they catch all kinds of weird looking stuff. Like, just the strangest things. And I don't know, dude, it makes sense, you know? There's those other photos of big crafts, like, it seems like they're sucking some kind of energy out of the sun, even, that have surfaced.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, if you find those, just post them over on the Gonzo Chronicles page, too, if you get a chance.
Yeah, they're all around. They're out there on the internet. But yeah, that's like the sun, the people who just watch, you know, the sun footage of all the stuff that comes out of the sun, all that video, and they capture it, boom, and then you go and try to rewatch it later on the main site for these institutions, and the weird object is gone.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's conspiracies, man.
I love
them. But it's not a if it's true.
You know what? I know a lot of people now that, like, with all that's going on in the world, they're like, oh, you guys wearing tinfoil hats? We're kind of right. Yeah. Well, yeah. No kidding. No kidding. No, but yeah, this is worth anybody doing research on if you're curious about this stuff. Just, you know, don't take my word for anything. Just go look it up. It's just incredible stuff. Heidi, next time we'll definitely talk about those portals out towards Superstition Mountain, because and other places too, because I find that incredibly fascinating.
I go hiking out there all the time, so maybe next time I go, I'll go find some caves and run some footage for you.
Oh, heck yeah, man! I always put that stuff up on the website. And then, where can people find you at online if they want to look you up?
You can just go to my Instagram, Heidi Gad. It's probably the easiest one, the best place to go right now. And
they can find you on Facebook too.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook too. You can find me there.
I'm on the Twitter if anybody is interested.
I am a tweeter. I always forget about the tweeting. I can't keep, dude, I'm a simple girl, you know, like, as unsimple as I seem.
It's hard to keep up.
Girl.
It's hard to keep up all that stuff. And then I'll let people get my ire up on Twitter, which I shouldn't, but it happens. It happens. Talk about making a fool of yourself. That stuff's permanent. You can't get rid of that. That's like that permanent record you get in school. I'm sure it has affected every job I've had, that permanent record.
You're self-employed then.
It's a good thing I'm self-employed, or I'd be in deep, deep trouble. Terrible trouble. But no, we'll definitely do this again sometime. And shit, I was going to ask you something else. I totally forgot what it was. I hate that. I hate when that happens. But we'll definitely do this again. So, like, anytime, I'm sure people will be like, hey, when's she coming back? I got that last time from friends of mine. I'm like, what am I, chopped liver? Like, where's Heidi? I'm like, okay, fine.
Hey, thanks, everybody.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're back by popular demand. So come back anytime. It's fun to talk about this stuff. And you guys definitely stay safe out there.
People should know, too, you and I are actually friends. It's not like Cyrus is my friend. So that's why I love coming on the show. I like doing this stuff with my friends. So that's why it's better.
Word, homie. Instead of
hey, can you come on my show and talk about yourself?
And you even read one of my books and didn't think it sucked. So that was good. That was good stuff.
A couple of your books. You're good.
I write some stuff. So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I never pitch this on the show, but I don't know why I don't. I don't do a Patreon. All right, so, like, there's no Patreon extra show or any of that footage or shit you can get. And I do pay for this every month, man, out of pocket. And, like, nobody's making money now. So if you want to do me a solid, go to Amazon.com and pick up one of my books by author Cyrus Alderwood. And you can start with some Gonzo Chronicles if you really want to. If not, I write horror. You get a book out of it, I make a couple of bucks. We call it even, you know?
Yeah.
And then if it sucks, don't tell anybody. If you like it, leave a comment and a ranking. Yeah,
you can just give the book away. Just give it, pass it up, you know?
Give it to your library. They're always looking for stuff.
Yeah, spread the Gonzo love.
Damn right. I like the way you think, Heidi. Hey, okay, thanks again. We'll definitely do this soon. You guys have a good night. See you, Heidi.
I'll see you later.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for tuning into the Gonzo Chronicles. Thanks for Heidi. You're awesome for coming on. We'll definitely do this again. And everybody out there, stay safe. And, you know, I guess I never want to hear the phrase social distancing again after this is over. But stay safe, everybody. Stay healthy. Check in on your family, friends, and neighbors. And better days are ahead. I promise.